Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightline with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. A guy who can still look intimidating in leg warmers, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight. Let's light this thing. It's Wednesday night in the state of Wisconsin. We're broadcasting live all over our beautiful state tonight from our gorgeous studios in downtown Green Bay here at WGCI. It's a Nightlight Wednesday. Conrad, how are you?
Did you say WGCI?
No, I don't think so. Did I?
You did.
What's the difference, right? Nobody.
You had me confused for a second. That's why I didn't respond right away.
No, it's WGBW, but even people listening go, oh, that's kind of cool. Like, they don't have any, they're not, all they know is this is Nightlight. We're here to have a good time.
Well, if you're watching on the stream, you can see a big sign on the back that says WGBW.
Yeah, it's WGBW. That's where we're broadcasting from here at beautiful City Deck Landing. I saw this film about, I don't know, well, I guess it was last year. Last year at the Wisconsin Film Festival called Hundreds of Beavers. And it was so funny. Actually, I'll go back even farther. About 4 or 5 years ago, I saw a film called The Lake Michigan Monster by these filmmakers or these young guys. I don't know how young they are. Actually, they're younger than me. And it was so out there and fun and just interesting to look at. It's like I've never seen anything like it before. So I watched it and I'm like, okay, that's great. These guys did this. It's really cool. Well, they've somehow followed it up with a movie called Hundreds of Beavers that is even better. And I would say it's a little less quirky than the Lake Michigan Monster, but it's still incredibly quirky. It's such a fun movie. How they make these films, they're so interesting and so innovative. And it's exciting when you see stuff like this that hasn't been done before. I mean, I'm guessing elements of it have been done before, but to tie it all together and make these two films that these guys have made, it's Mike Cheslick and Rylan Brixen Twos are the filmmakers behind it. Fundraiser happening here in the Northeast Wisconsin area in the Manitowoc vicinity called Mrs. Roper's Romp. So if you happen to have a moo-moo in your closet or something that looks like a tablecloth that you typically wear, put it on. Fan of the show Three is Company. And who wasn't? Pretty cutting edge show back in the day in the late 70s. ABC put it out. A show set in Southern California. We've talked about this before on the show. John Ritter played a character named Jack Tripper who moved in with two women, Chrissy and Janet. And it was forbidden even then, and even in Southern California, and as recently, I know this doesn't sound recent, but 40 years ago, still frowned upon if a man and a woman lived together and weren't married. So Jack had to pretend he was gay. So hijinks ensued. Every episode, there was some sort of misunderstanding, and the Ropers were the landlords, Stanley and Helen. And Helen wore these big muumuus, and Stanley was incompetent in every way, mostly in the bedroom. So that's the genesis of the Mrs. Roper romp. Conrad, do you know what a festival darling is?
What is that?
That's what they call it. That's what they call a film that's cleaning up at film fest. Okay. It's a festival darling. So that'll be fun. And then there's a lot of other stuff going on. I mean, it's National Cheeseball Day. So I would be remiss if I did not address this great day that we recognize. That is maybe, since we've been doing this show, very possibly the most disgusting name for a day that we've had. I find cheese log, cheese loaf, and the term cheese ball all just vomit worthy. I can do cheese occasionally. I like a nice smoked Gouda in slices. Why you would put it all into a ball or a log or a loaf, I don't understand. And it really grosses me out, which leads us to tonight's question. In honor of National Cheeseball Day, what food totally disgusts you? For me, it's the cheese. It's anything where cheese is crammed together and soft, like a loaf, ball, or log. What about you, Conrad? You got a disgusting food?
You know, I like tuna.
Okay.
But I hate it when it's in the can. Okay. I think it smells disgusting.
Really?
That's the one thing that, like, if I see that in a room, I will go to the other room because it just has the worst smell to me.
What about like salmon though? It kind of has the same texture and look as salmon when salmon is cut up, like at a party if you're there and there's like a.
If it's just in a can, I just hate it.
But it's the smell.
It's the smell in a can. But like I like tuna when you like fillet it.
Sure.
You know, when you buy it from the store.
Make tuna steaks.
It just can't be from in a can. I just think it's nasty.
I can picture right now. Is you torturing yourself and opening cans of tuna and putting your nose in it like you're sniffing wine before you drink it, like just to torture yourself. Okay, so there you go. My disgusting food is cheese in the form of a loaf, log, or ball. Conrad's is canned tuna. What's yours? I'd love to know. Join the show, folks. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Let us know what your disgusting food is. It's also National Banana Day. And I'll tell you, the banana has a soft spot in my heart. It's kind of a fun fruit. It makes you think of tropical things or monkeys. Who doesn't love monkeys, you know? just eating a banana is kind of... I always used to want to have a banana party. Like, people come over, and instead of holding drinks... Everybody's just kind of holding a banana. I think that would be kind of cool.
If someone doesn't know about that and walks in, what are
they gonna think? Oh, see, that would be the best. Then you record it and you're like, what the hell is going on? Well, we're serving bananas. You got a problem with that? It's good, clean, wholesome fun. Don't sniff the tuna and don't go to a cheese log loaf or ball that we would also be serving because someone would definitely want one. All right, here's another thing. It's Victoria Beckham's birthday today. She turns 50. She was one of the Spice Girls. And here's a song that I heard in my sleep in the 90s. Let's just hear a little bit of this, Conrad. All right, you can lower it. Were they just trying to make a word quota or something? Like they couldn't. This song got in my head for like a month in the 90s. Whenever it was out, I don't remember exactly, but I could not get this song out of my head. And now I'm sharing that with you, the listener, and Conrad, daring you to try not to think about this song. It's maddening. It's like, I mean, it's an okay song. It's catchy, but this is not one you want to try to fall asleep at night and not be able to get this out of your head. All right, you can kill it now, Connor.
Are you sure? You don't want to listen to more?
Oh, that's awfully tempting, but no.
I think we should make that just the outro music for every single segment.
Yeah, you'd probably get slapped with a lawsuit. So that song for me, that's one of them. The other one is Set the Night to Music by Roberta Flack. Now, I love Roberta Flack. Killing Me Softly with his song. Beautiful song. She's got a beautiful voice. But Set the Night to Music is just such a canned. It's like that song. Tell me what you want, what you really, really want. I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really want. Okay, then tell me what you want, what you really, really. It's just like trying to kill time. It's just silly. They sure were cute, though, the Spice Girls. They brought a lot to the pop world. Were you Spice Girls? That was before you were born, right, Conrad?
Yeah, that was, well, it was.
Close.
That song came out, what? What year did that song come out?
I have to look it up. And I know your mom carried you way past 9 months, so maybe technically it could be. Didn't she have like a 14-month pregnancy with?
I don't know where you got that information.
That's a great character
from
a movie. Like a Wes Anderson. Yeah, his mom carried him for 19 months before she gave birth. Oh my gosh. Paula, I meant that generically. I feel like I know your mom now, and I don't want to give her that thought like, oh dear God, no. Whatever, what mom would ever want to. Paula is one of our first texters tonight. She says she's in the 920, but not really in the 920. She says sauerkraut. Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I could see that. Kind of compliment with a nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Great to have you with me.
I want to cry, cry, cry alone. When you're feeling blue, I'm waiting just for you. Someone's
living for. So the question is, how many times will you wear your clothes without washing them? That's our question tonight.
Who wants to start this off?
I mean, no judgment, right? There's just phone numbers. We don't have... Conrad, how many times have you worn that sweatshirt without washing it?
He's
John Q. Public.
I really wash everything. I'm a clean freak when it comes to that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I thought you were blushing because maybe you were going the opposite direction, right?
This is no. My ninth time with no t-shirt.
I wash everything after it's been used at least.
Just
like,
once?
Just once, yeah.
Wow. That's got to add up, though.
I do a lot of laundry. Yeah, I do.
How much is it for a load of wash over there?
It's nothing. It's in my apartment.
Vista. Oh, you got in-unit mm-hmm. laundry.
Yep.
Look at you. God, I didn't have in-unit laundry when I was his age.
I haven't had that. So
crazy.
This is the first time.
Are you ready for this, Conrad?
Yeah.
I'm ready.
Ready? Pete, when was the last time you washed that pair of pants you're wearing right now?
Full disclosure. These are my pants I never wear underwear with. So this is the first time. I'm joking. This is the first time I've worn these pants. But this shirt, I'm on probably round 4 or 5. I always wear a t-shirt with
Fine.
It. And I always smell it before I put it on, you know? So, you know, I don't know. Here, while we're on the subject, guys, this will be fun. So that's our question tonight. Let us know what you guys think. How many times will you wear your clothes? What's appropriate before you wash them?
Underwear is a non-negotiable, though. That has to be every use.
Yes.
Every use.
For me,
you could turn them inside out. No, I agree.
Are you sure you haven't washed?
Listen, am I going out in public or not? Because I got to be honest, I'm just going out to pick up the yard. I'm not burning a fresh pair. But I, you know, if I'm going to be around people and civilization, I'm definitely. 855-752-4842. Let us know what you think. What is the appropriate amount of time to wear your clothes before you wash them? It is National Laundry Day, ladies and gentlemen. So I would love to hear from you. Here's another thing. I'll take this a step farther. Deodorant. There is an anti-deodorant movement, and I will say I've sort of bought into it. Like, I'm coming here today, I'm around people, I'm wearing deodorant. But if I'm not leaving my house all day, or the general area where I live, or I don't have a meeting or whatever, I skip the deodorant, I do. Because supposedly, there's aluminum in deodorant, it can cause dementia. That's what they're saying.
Is that what it causes? That's...
Sure.
I mean, I've heard that too.
Yeah.
But they make now, I've got this aluminum-free deodorant.
Is it Lume? Is that what they...
It's Arm & Hammer.
Oh, okay.
Something like that. It doesn't really smell that good, I'll be honest. I kind of like the Old Spice better.
Yeah. I go Menon.
Conrad, are you rocking the Old Spice or...
He doesn't wear deodorant. That's why he has to do laundry every day.
No. I use Harry's. I really like their stuff.
That's fancy.
This guy's got expensive taste.
Wow. I mean, Old Spice is really expensive now, too.
First the in-unit laundry, now the Harry's deodorant.
Wow. That's good. That's going to eat up a lot of your expendable.
Old Spice costs...
Old Spice is nothing, dude.
I mean, Harry's is the same price.
Seriously?
Yeah. Oh.
I don't know. I mean, I feel better when I put deodorant on, but I really do read those studies, and it kind of... freaks me out.
Scary.
I mean, yeah, when you start
without a doubt
smelling like Daryl from The Walking Dead, it's time to maybe throw on some deodorant. I don't know. It's interesting. So This has turned into like a hygiene lesson, which is fine.
The only deodorant I can't wear is the old, like when my dad had the old stick deodorant with and it flaked off and it would blow all of your clothes.
Yes.
And
make,
you know, that stuff sucks.
And the spray. Remember the spray? Like you would spray Axe? Aerosol. Oh, Axe. I guess Axe is, but that's like a body. That's not really a deodorant, is it?
It's spray though.
But you know, there are people who wear cologne in lieu of deodorant. Like they think that's an alternative to deodorant. And I'm like, no, that's like it's like the icing on the cake. You don't skip the deodorant and put on High Karate or Dracar or whatever.
You deodorant and then you do a little spritz.
Yeah, exactly.
If you want.
Correct. Huh. That's interesting. All right. Yeah. Well, I would say I wear jeans like probably 4 or 5 times before I wash them. Unless I'm out, like, I love seeing, like, when you go by a playground, you see the pickup games, the guys wearing jeans. It's like, to play basketball, to hoop. I would never do that. But those I would wash. But no, I do 4 or 5, maybe shirts, 2 or 3, depending on how active I was.
Shirts are a little different. I feel like there's more sweat opportunities with shirts.
Totally.
They stretch out a lot.
Absolutely.
But pants, jeans, I could go, I think we can go longer.
I'm sure, yeah. I just have this like...
Unless they stink.
Right. And there's a lot of different reasons a pair of pants can stink. What is happening here? All right.
Show's off the rails.
Conrad's looking at me like, is this Nightlight? What? Yeah, it's called going with the flow, Conrad. This is something your generation needs to learn. So you used to do radio here, Aaron.
I did.
Tell us, you were a music jock, right?
Yeah, I was... This is a really great radio community. It still is to this day. I mean, how exciting is it to have Mino and the mayor here? So I used to work with John Mino on WIXX.
Gosh. Wow.
And that was my first radio job. I did overnights. They have live people on the station. I'm all for that. That's how we get our talent in this industry.
Yeah.
Right?
And it's cool just knowing you're listening to a real person like at 2 in the morning.
You can engage with them. Cool. Yeah. Right. Text with them. So I worked with John and that's how and then I worked before that. I was a community service, I think they call them community service officers now, but they called it something different back then, for the city of Green Bay, because I had a law enforcement degree. So I met Mayor Schmidt at the time through that.
Huh.
And so when I changed gears and went into radio, then I met John Mino. And so my roots here from living here, going to school here. I mean, talk about what goes around comes around, right?
No kidding.
Full circle.
That's hilarious. And you had no idea those two one day would get together.
And do a show. It's wild.
It is wild. So they have so much fun in the morning. And it's funny that John lives in the building because I'll be in the middle like of an intro and John will just walk in and come in and sit down. Like he came in here once. He's been begging me. He's been saying, you got to put me in your next movie. You didn't put me in your last movie, whatever. I'm like, John, I don't have anything on the docket right now, but I'll keep your resume on file. But he came in here and he showed me an acting certificate from the University of Arizona. And he comes and he goes, just wanted to show you this, buddy. Look at that. What do you think of that? And I'm like opening the show and he's like in my face about the thing. And then he just put it down and left. He left it here. He didn't take it with him.
He's in the apartments like right here, right?
On the premises. Yep. Yeah.
If you haven't been here, I mean, this is a pretty intricate area.
Oh, yeah.
Living where you can live, work and play here. I mean, it's great.
Absolutely. Although, and there's a new coffee shop going in next door. And then the store, I think they're converting that. That's still going to be a store, but they have new owners coming in or something. So
I'll be here bright and early tomorrow morning. So,
yeah.
Hey, Pete, always glad to see you. I appreciate you having me on.
Hey, man.
Conrad, you too.
Anytime. I mean, you're sort of my boss. So, of course, anytime. You can just come in here and do whatever you want, frankly. Next time, please wear pants. But it fell into the conversation tonight. So, it was great having you, man. Thank you so much.
Hey, appreciate it.
Thanks for all your support, too. It's fun.
He'll grab some deodorant now. So
yeah, we always keep a fresh... Conrad's going to do laundry, actually, during the break. That's how crazy this has gotten. So Bob Brown is coming up next. We're going to talk to Bob about filmmaking and a couple hit movies he's done. Thanks for being with me tonight, folks. You got Nightlight and Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. All my instincts, they return. The grand facade so soon will burn.
Did
Did you miss what's hot from Wisconsin to Hollywood? Listen to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba podcast on civicmedia.us. You can always listen through Spotify, Apple Podcast, or the Civic Media app. Take Nightlight with Pete Schwabba anywhere you go. Once again, here is your host, Pete Schwabba.
I almost missed these texts. Robert says, Seth Rogen wrote The Boys. Great show. My son loves that show. I've only seen one episode. He also says, Quick Trip, didn't let us forget it was banana day. I am going to have a banana party, and it's going to be great. But you got to dress up. You get a banana when you come in the door. It's just a bunch of people standing around holding bananas. It'll be fun. Just like back in the 70s when they used to have those banana parties. Conrad, you're too young. You don't remember that. I think this is Robert, too. I can't tell who sent this text. They killed off the right characters. Speaking of Game of Thrones. Right now, I'm excited. We're going to talk a little more film. Got some good up-and-coming directors on the show tonight, both with Wisconsin roots. And right now, it is my pleasure to welcome to the show, Justin Superstar. Justin, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Are you making really big shoes for yourself to fill, having Superstar as the last name? That seems like a lot of pressure.
You know, it is even more pressure. It's a combined singular name. Yeah. So it was my email address when I was 14. And so I went into life with high expectations, Justin Superstar at Yahoo. And when I got my first kind of real corporate job, I remember walking in the door and they're like, Justin Superstar, what's up, man? And I was like, you know what? This is dumb, but people remember it. Yes. And so I'm just going to roll with it because I think it's funny.
I was using it like when I was preparing for the show, I kept putting Justin Superstar and I'm like, all right, eventually I'll look at his last name, but this way I know who it is. I know when he's going to be here. I know the film. And then I kept Googling. I'm like, wow, this is his name. This is what he goes with. And then I saw
it's
another
out
name.
There, man.
Yeah.
It's out there. IMDb, everything, you know, like because I think when I was adding my name to IMDb years ago, I was like Justin Johnson, number 28.
And I'm like, okay. Yeah.
That's a lot of competition.
It is. No, you're doing all right with Superstar. I have to tell you, I have a thing about IMDb. Like, I have actual credits, but I did some stuff at my son's school that were reading movies that were like 20-minute movies that only the kids at the school were supposed to see and the administrators. And since it was LA, I used real actors. Like, there's really good actors in it with credits. Well, some guy was trying to launch his daughter's movie career and put these two reading films on IMDb. And I'm like, come on, dude, this is a joke. You can't put that on there. And I contacted IMDb and they wouldn't take it down.
You know what? We live in a hellscape. That's what I got to say. It could not possibly be worse than this.
I think I need a superstar to follow up and you're just the guy to do it. So Mom and Dad's Nipple Factory. I have not seen it. It looks like a really cool movie. Can we see it yet?
So we have distribution, which is actually somewhat rare for films these days. As I was doing the festival circuit last year, and the film, I can explain, it's a documentary. It's about my super conservative Christian parents who live in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, and their secret prosthetic nipple business for people who have been through breast cancer. And it's this family story, it's their love story. And as I was touring the festival circuit over the last like year or so, it's pretty rare to get distribution these days. So we're very lucky. We're with a company called Kino Lorber. They're doing a DVD run. And our launch date currently is September 3rd, right after Labor Day. So all really awesome stuff, but it's just a little bit down the line still.
Okay. Well, fair enough. And I didn't want to pester you for like a Vimeo link or anything. I just thought it would be fun to have you come on and tell us about
it. I can hook you up.
Then maybe
we'll hook you up. Then I can come back, right? If you or maybe not. I don't know.
Well, let's just see how this goes. No, you can come back anyway and tell us about it. I'd love before you release it. I think you told me in one of our exchanges that you're adding an executive producer, like an A-list type. Can you talk about that, or is that not public knowledge?
I don't know if I can really yet. We're probably going to do a press release about it. But needless to say, it's like one of those things where this film is a Wisconsin story. Eau Claire is not the biggest metropolis. It's not a Los Angeles. It's not a New York story. This is like about my parents and it's about a very obscure thing. So it's one of those things where if you have that kind of attachment with someone who is known, you can take a documentary with a weird title like Mom and Dad's Nipple Factory. And all of a sudden you're like, oh, so-and-so is attached. So it's been a pretty funny journey because there actually was another A-list actor, who again I can't name, but she's been looking for projects to do narrative versions of. And so I, like yesterday morning, I was scrambling to get her a downloadable Vimeo link so she could watch it on her flight to London. So it's like this kind of stuff where it's like, it's very much a word of mouth film, which is why I'm sure when people Google it, there's not a lot of, there may be 28 Justin Johnsons on IMDb, but there's only one Mom and Dad's Nibble Factory on IMDb. So you will find our website if you Google it. And having that kind of like stamp of approval from our distribution company and this upcoming executive producer is going to be, I think, a big deal for us.
So it might become a narrative, like a feature film, in addition to the document. That's a great story, actually. Wow.
You know, it's part of the journey for a lot of, I just think there's so many films out there that are popular that are like, this is about, you know, a documentary about someone being murdered or a cult or whatever, right? And,
right.
And sometimes these are made into narratives, but this is such a, it's a quirky film. It has plenty of emotion. You'll laugh, you'll cry, all that kind of stuff. And it's about my parents. And so I have this, like, I have this vision of like imagining, you know, what the A-list celebrity cast would be for my particular film, but it's still just a vision. So we'll see. We'll see what kind of trip this takes me on.
Well, I wish you luck with that. That's pretty exciting. And I just want to say, like, for those of you listening, this is a really, based on what I saw, just a really heartfelt, like, your family, like so many families went through this. You found out your mom had breast cancer. The fact that it's your dad that created this nipple, you know, because a lot of women that have double mastectomies or breast reconstruction, correct me if I'm getting any of this wrong, but they didn't have nipples before. And your dad designed a prosthetic nipple, correct?
That's exactly it. And so it's really interesting because I think growing up, a lot of us just think that our parents are boring or, you know, whatever. Right. And I was like, my mom's like the most outgoing, lovely people person in the world. And my dad is like very shy. I kind of describe him as, you imagine like the dad from Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Mm-hmm. He's like the shy, you know, inventor type who just likes to be inside and tinkering on things. And so all through growing up, because I'm the oldest of five kids, my dad, who was very non-confrontational, would use this. He worked at a supercomputer company. Like, he had always been coming up with other small businesses and things like that. So one of my, I'd be like, yeah, dad's kind of boring. And then I'd get into my childhood and I'd tell them about this device that my dad invented called the media timer. So this is, you know, peak 90s. We've all got, we're watching TV, watching Fox Kids, we're playing N64. And so dad was like, I don't want to yell at the kids to tell them to get off the TV, but I do want to control how much time they can watch TV. So he took, like, you think of like a bathroom timer for like the overhead fan. You can set it for like an hour, and then when it dings, then the fan turns off, right? Or the heat lamp. So dad took one of those. He took one of those plastic cases that you do with a key that you would use for like maybe a thermostat. And he had this vision, this idea of, if I take the wire from the TV, I strip it, I put that into the timer, I put it behind this locked plastic case, I can set the TV timer for 45 minutes. Jeez. I can go take a nap. And then as soon as those 45 minutes are up, we're locked. I mean, it's like literally unplugging the TV. And this was just I think we could have been very wealthy if dad put that on as a product in the 90s.
Oh, he never did anything with it?
Helpless.
Oh,
it was
just
our family alone had this media timer thing. And I would tell people stories about like that kind of thing growing up, and they'd be like, that's really weird and unique. And so as I dug through the archival, so my dad, I'm a filmmaker, of course, but my dad was always capturing our life and borrowing cameras from people at the church. And so we have 100+ hours of this very like fly in the wall, just kind of watching life happen, home videos. And so I was able to pull from this tapestry of these home videos that dad shot, from me literally being like a 4-year-old seeing a video camera for the first time and asking my dad, how do you see from that into there? And until like my mom's cancer, all that kind of stuff. So as a documentarian, when you have that wealth of material, it allows you to paint a really interesting picture of the characters and of the story.
So that is the voice of Justin Superstar. He's the director of Mom and Dad's Nipple Factory, which will be released soon. That's really fascinating. Tell us about when you first approached your parents about making the film. You've got all this material. I know as a documentary filmmaker, you must have been like, wow. Like that's like finding 100 pages of a script that you could just use at your leisure. But were they receptive to the idea? Did they want their story told on camera?
They really, it's one of those things where, like, for example, this is not a multi-million dollar venture with offices and employees. It's literally my mom and my dad. They've now done about 5,000, I think maybe 6,000 now nipples over the course of 12, 13 years of running this company. They don't have a PR division. They don't want press. They just want to do their thing. It's their way of working together in their golden years. And it's really more of a ministry than a business. And so at this point, there have been many years where this was really a secret to us. It was all the nipple laboratory really? Was locked away in my sister's old bedroom.
Wow.
And it was just, we just weren't, everything was covered, right? All the nipples were covered. All the dad would use, like, you know, there's toothpicks and toothbrushes, and it's all very DIY and scrappy, but we just didn't really know what it was all about. And so eventually the news kind of trickled out. Hey, dad, mom and dad are making nipples and all this, but it's not like that kind of like sit down at the table when I'm home for Thanksgiving and just ask about it. So as a filmmaker, Midwestern, you know, we have our own kind of ways that we can be a little bit prudish or conservative. I was like, okay, I can get mom and dad to tell me all the details. If I tell them, I'm going to make a short documentary about it. So this thing started as, like many great things, started with a lie. And I was like, it's going to be 5 minutes. I'm going to film for a weekend. You know, and dad, you don't even have to talk. It's going to be all just B-roll of you making the nipples and mom's going to do all the talking. And so I started making this in 2015. And it was something where I couldn't really, it was originally about, it's called My Dad's Nipple Factory. I couldn't really figure out the core of it. And so I filmed a little bit, I learned a little bit, and then I kind of sat for a couple of years until I realized this is really my parents' love story. And once I connected to that love story element, I saw just a bigger, more universal picture I could paint. And so those that weekend turned into 7 years of me Whoa. Filming as I was completing it and going from this is a short to having this. And I'm, you know, I don't know you that well. I don't know how well you know, you knew your parents or know your parents. But like, for me, it became this thing where, oh my God, like I get to know so much more about my dad's upbringing, my mom's upbringing, more about them as people. And of course, the nipple factory. But beyond that, it was this incredible moment where I was able to really bond. And in some ways, it was like therapy. And I say, like, your parents are a non-renewable resource. Like, if you don't ask these questions, if you have these questions and you don't ask them, there's a point in time where you could never get an answer. And so for me to collect this family history and to create this film, which is like, you know, I hope to become at the very least a family heirloom. Like my wife and I are expecting our first kid in like 3 weeks. And I'm like, oh my God, now our daughter can watch this film that I made and like get to know her grandparents better. So it's all like, there's such a deeper meaning to it. But at the end of the day, you know, no, I kind of tricked my parents into this, but it's really led to a lot of like really powerful things with our family and, you know, with my parents as well.
The good Christian boy told a little white lie and got a whole movie out of it. That's pretty cool. My guest is Justin Superstar. We have a few more minutes with him coming up next. This is Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Tonight's question, if you still want to get in, you got a couple minutes here. In honor of National Cheeseball Day, what food totally disgusts you? Joe from the 715 says cottage cheese. There is a theme here with the cheese. And I got to tell you, cheese, Some cheese I like, if it's in the form of a head, loaf, log, or ball, no thanks. Conrad says it's canned tuna. So Joe, thank you for the text, Joe. Cottage cheese. Yeah, that can be, that's hit or miss. That's kind of a disgusting look, but people love it. It's supposed to be good for dieters too. Look at me giving nutritional tips. Hey, my guest is Justin Superstar. He is the director of the film Mom and Dad's Nipple Factory, which is going to be released soon. You had a good festival run, right, Justin? It was a big hit.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, we were lucky enough to be the opening night film for the Milwaukee Film Festival. So we had this, it was literally like the opening night of my dreams. It's at this incredible theater in downtown Milwaukee. And 1,000-seat theater, we were sold out. We got several standing ovations. A lot of my family was there. It was really, really cool. We probably did about 12 or 15 festivals. And so really my last year was just traveling around and meeting filmmakers and all that kind of thing.
That's so fun. You and I have a few things in common here. I'm also the oldest of five. Definitely connected with my parents later in life and also had a film play. I'm assuming you're talking about the Oriental.
Yeah. So awesome theater.
That's a beautiful theater. They do such a great job there in Milwaukee. So sometimes in my life, I look back and I say, if you had told me at 20 or 10 or whatever, that all this stuff was going to happen to me, it's just things that make you in awe of life. And I'm thinking about your story here. Have your parents even grasped where their journey has taken them? From being opposites and falling in love to the cancer and then her own husband coming up with this innovative fix-it remedy for nipples and then their own son telling the story. Like, have they even grasped the journey they've been on through this documentary somehow?
They're starting to. And the really wild thing, Pete, is that this is the beginning of this story because we've really only been available to festival audiences and a few select special screenings that we've done. So I really described like this is a film about becoming whole again. It's my mom becoming whole again. I was somewhat estranged for many years. And so me coming back to the fold of the family and then also literally moving from LA for about a decade to moving. Now I'm in Minneapolis, so I'm close to home. And that impact alone has been incredible. So if we never got distribution, if I just played one festival and that was it, I would say that this film has been a resounding success. And what's amazing about this film is this is a word of mouth film and people haven't been able to really share it yet. And so what's going to be amazing is, in September when this film comes out on streaming, it's going to be available on DVD, pre-order on Amazon, Apple TV, all that kind of stuff. That's when we're going to start to see the impact of this Wisconsin feel good. It's a wholesome religious, but not preachy. I'm not religious myself. And so, but I get along with my parents. Like I think in this time of division, it's really important to have a story where it's like, we can all get along and hey, nipples are important and let's figure it out.
Absolutely. Very well said. You've done a lot of work for networks and you make your living doing commercials and stuff like that, if I understand correctly, and projects for corporations and branding.
So I'm much like my dad, I have evolved into a business owner. And so I worked at Google for a while. I was at startups before that, very early internet video startups. And so now I have a social media agency. We're called BMP Creative. And I have somehow 35 full-time staff that works for me, editors, accounts people. Our biggest client is Netflix. And we did, last year alone, we did 3,500 videos for their social media. So it's pretty wild where my dad likes to keep things small. I'm like, let's hire people, let's do stuff, that kind of thing. So that's my day-to-day.
Very nice. So we have a couple minutes left. Do you have another feature film in your plans, or are you happy doing the social media? There's a lot more. I did a lot of interstitials for networks and I loved, or even when I did stand up, you write a joke, you try it that night. You shoot a short thing, a 30-second spot, you air it. Features take so long and you have to be so patient. Yeah, you're so right. Patient, yeah. So where are you going to go from here? Are you going to try to make another film or keep doing what you're doing?
My next project is coming on May 6th. Her name is Dahlia, and she is going to be a baby. And so that is what I'm going to be focusing on. After my first feature documentary, which came out in 2015, I was like, I'm never doing that again. And then this story found me. So another story could find me. I currently am very happy being a CEO and business owner, and never meant to make a second one. People say it's good. Hopefully your audience agrees when it comes out, and you know, we'll see what happens, but I feel pretty happy with where I'm at right now.
That's fantastic. You have to come back before it opens up and we'll try to help you get the word out. I have one more question for you. We talk about movies and TV on this show and what we're watching. Are you watching, binge watching or cringe watching anything at the moment that you could recommend?
I just started the new Fallout series on Amazon. Unbelievable. I'm on it in the middle of like episode 2, and as a huge nerd and fan of those games and just a fan of like shows, I'm just like this, I don't know if it's just cabinet for me, but I'm like, I'm very much enjoying it. I also enjoy that my wife does not care about it, so I can watch it whenever I want. And that's great.
That's pretty cool. Did you play the video game?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Okay. I played all of them all the way back to the first one.
Here's the thing. Conrad told me about that show. He watched it. I've watched two. I love Walton Goggins. I've watched 2 episodes. It's not something I can watch before bed, but I do like them, but I do feel like it has a video game feel to it. So I'm having a little trouble getting into that, but visually it's really cool.
It's really good. And there's lots of fan service that you will miss if you're not a fan of the game, but it doesn't matter because Goggins is amazing. Yeah. And you know, some great, and Ben from Lost, right? That creepy guy, he's been creepy again. I'm like, this is great.
I'm waiting for Hulu to remake Pong. I think that'll be a fun video game movie. But sure. Justin, thank you so much for your time tonight, buddy. Good luck with your new project, the baby, giving birth a different way than making films. And we wish you luck and come back again before the film opens.
Thanks. Yeah. Mom and Dad's Nipple Factory. Google us. Get on our mailing list. Thanks so much, everyone.
Absolutely. Have a great night. Thanks, Justin. That is Justin Superstar. That is his name, folks. Google it. Google Mom and Dad's Nipple Factory. Like he said, get on a list. And we'll try to remind you too when the film opens in the next couple months. All right, I'd like to thank all of my guests tonight: Mike Cheslick, Megan Bruckshen, married name, right, Conrad? She made fun of it. You can laugh. No, there's nothing.
You don't want my options on it. You know,
it's a cool name. Thank you for your texts, and thank you to Justin Superstar too. Can't wait to see the film, and. Great to have you with me tonight, and thanks for being part of the show. This is Nightlight with Peach Wobble. We'll be back tomorrow night. Good night, Wisconsin.